Now, as I said, we're actually in the middle of a story, so I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go back and set the context for maybe some of you that haven't been here for the last couple of weeks. Beginning in verse 25, it says, "Now his elder son." Now, remember, he had two sons, and the younger one had taken his inheritance and gone to the far country and wasted it on riotous living. So now we have the elder son. He was in the fields. And as he came, he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. It was music that was designed to have dancing along with it. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What's going on? And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And you would think that the older brother would rejoice and be glad. But notice his attitude was he was angry, verse 28, and would not go into the party. "Therefore came his father out and entreated him." This is, he pleaded with him, begging him to come in and to celebrate. "But the older brother answered," verse 29, "and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I've served thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet you never gave me a goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son," he doesn't say my brother, he said, "just as soon as your son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." You can hear the anger in this young, in this older brother's voice. "Then the father said to him," very touching, verse 31 and 32, he said, "Son," or "my dear child, thou art ever with me. All that I have is yours. It was right or fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost, and now he is found." Now, why was this story given by Jesus at this time? I'm glad you asked. I want you to back up with me now to verse 1 to 3, verses 1 to 3 of chapter 5. "Then drew near unto him," that is Jesus, "all the publicans and sinners to hear him." They were the ones that had ears to hear. So they were coming to Jesus, verse 1. These are tax collectors who are hated and despised. The Jews considered them the scum of the earth. And sinners were just secular Jews that did not regard God, that were very worldly and ungodly. And they were coming to hear Jesus. But notice the response of the Pharisee. And I'll just spill the beans, to use an expression, right here in verse 2. The older brother pictures the Pharisees and scribes. The older brother that we just read about is pictured the Pharisees and the scribes. Notice verse 2. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man," referring to Jesus, "receives sinners and eats with them." That is exactly what was bothering the older brother, that the father had received this sinful younger brother and was throwing a big party for him, and he was angry and upset. So Jesus, verse 3, spake this parable unto them, saying. Now, actually, Jesus spoke three parables. And you remember them, right? Some of you weren't here, but remember them. The first was about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And he lost one of his sheep, and he put the 99 in a fold safely. And he went out that night, and he went out looking for the one lost sheep. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders, and he rejoiced. Take note of that. When you find that which is lost, the result is joy. He was celebrating, and he came home and invited all his family, friends, and neighbors. "Come on over. We're going to party. We're going to celebrate, for I found my one lost sheep that was lost." Again, that was directed toward the attitude of the Pharisees. They murmured, "Jesus receives sinners and eats with them." Their attitude was wrong. They didn't have the heart of God. The second parable was that of a woman. So we move from a shepherd with 100 sheep, loses one, goes out and finds it and rejoices. To a woman that had 10 pieces of silver. They were 10 silver coins. And she lost one. You'd think, well, no biggie. You've got 9 left. But it says that she lit a lamp. She got a broom. She swept her house until in her house she found that one lost coin. And when you find that which is lost, what's your response? You're glad, right? If you lose your keys, you lose some money, and you find, oh, praise the Lord, I found what I lost. You celebrate, right? So she said, celebrate with me. Let's have a party, for I found my one last coin. So Jesus is showing by these parables, and by the way, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The word parabole means to lay alongside. So Jesus lays this story alongside spiritual truth. And he's basically saying that their attitudes of the Pharisees were wrong because when you find which is lost, you should be glad and rejoice. And heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. Amen? So if we have the heart of God, we rejoice over that which is lost being found. And then the third parable was that of the prodigal son, when the text there said that the man had 2 sons. And the younger son did what? He came to his dad and said, Dad, give me my inheritance right now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now. I want to leave. I want to do what I want to do. So the father gave him his inheritance, which would be 1/3 of all the property and all of the wealth. And then he liquidated it. And then the younger son went into a far away country. And there he wasted his substance on riotous living or reckless prodigal living. And then all of a sudden the famine came in this faraway place and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him out to feed pigs. So here's this Jewish boy in the pig pen feeding pigs, can't get any lower. And when it says he came to himself, he came to his senses. He said, how many hired servants or slaves have bread enough to spare at my father's house? And I'm in this pig pen perishing with hunger. The pigs wouldn't even share with him. They were pigs. So he said, I'm going to go back to my father. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell my father, I've sinned. I've sinned against God in heaven, and I've sinned against you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. So would you just hire me as a slave? Would you just hire me as a day laborer? And so the father saw the son coming back, and he was a great way off, and the father ran. What a picture of God. By the way, the father in the parable is God. And he's running back to this rebellious son. And it says that he threw his arms around him. He fell on his neck. He began to kiss him, which is smothered him with kisses repeatedly. And then he says, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. And kill the fatted calf and rejoice. And that's where we come then to verse 24. Look at it with me. For this my son was dead, the father said, but now he is alive. Again, he was lost, but now he was found. And they began to be merry. So you find the sheep, you're partying. You find the coin, you're partying. You find the lost son comes back, you're throwing a big party, right? So everybody is celebrating except for one person. That's the older brother. The older son mentioned in verse 25, who stayed there on the farm working hard outwardly. Now remember this, outwardly, he looked like the ideal, perfect son. If you were to interview the father, he'd say, yeah, that rebel son went off and he wasted all our money. But I love my praise coming back. But man, look at my son out working in the field. Isn't he a good boy? Isn't he upright? Isn't he a hard worker? He's so obedient. Look how good that boy is. But it's one thing to see on the outside. It's another thing, God sees the heart, right? This is one of the most heart-searching facets of this parable. And if it doesn't convict you, something's wrong. I think there's a little older brother in every one of us. At least we've had those periods of time when we had the older brother syndrome. And we get mad at God because he doesn't do for us what we would like him to do. And we get mad at others, or we're unforgiving toward a family member. And we won't go to the family gatherings. We're standing outside and the family's begging us to come in, but we're unforgiving and we won't go, and we carry a grudge. So real and so applicable to our lives today. And so Jesus gave them this story, which ended verse 25 down to verse 32, in the elder brother coming back. Now, I want to break down this text. I want to go verse by verse through it with giving you four sections, four divisions of what's going on in this story. Verse 25 to verse 28, the very first half of verse 28, we see the angry older brother. I'm going to go back over it, verse 25. The elder son was in the field. Now, there were two boys. Younger son was the prodigal. He was the one who wasted his substance on riotous living. And then there was the elder son. He was the son who stayed home working in the fields. Now, the fact that it says he was in the fields actually indicates that he was working and responsible. He was hardworking and responsible. He drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. In the Greek construction of the statement indicates it was a big, giant party. There was a band, there was music, they were dancing. It wasn't just sitting around having a barbecue. They were really partying. They were celebrating. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Now, this phrase, ask what these things meant, literally means he began drilling him for information. He was eager to to know what's going on here. And so he said to him, thy brother has come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because, here's the rationale, he has received him, that is your younger brother, safe and sound. And you would think the older brother would say, praise God, my brother's come home. Why didn't you send someone to the field to call me? Why didn't you let me know? I would have rushed home. No, he says he was angry and would not go in. Now, let me say this before I go any further. This is a challenging little segment of the parable to preach on, because it doesn't flow in kind of a logical order. It's a story that kind of goes back and forth. But we see in this story, and this is foundational, that you could put sin in two categories of sin. There's open action sins. There's hidden attitude sins. There are sins of the flesh, the younger son, prodigal, living. And there's sins of the spirit, attitude sins of the heart, the older brother. The older brother who was working every day, looked so compliant, looked so hardworking, looked so obedient, was actually just as much a sinner as the younger son. We always focus on the prodigal son, the younger son. And he was actually a very, very sinful boy, but he repented and he came back and he was forgiven. And he had restoration. Whenever there's repentance, there's forgiveness and there's restoration. So that's so very important. So there's selfish sins, sin, there's sins of stubbornness. There's sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. I think that's interesting. The younger son was a scandalous sinner. The older brother was a sanctimonious sinner. Do you ever think about that? A sanctimonious sinner, a religious sinful person, because God looks on the what? Heart. Jesus said, if you look lustfully, you have committed adultery in your heart. If you have anger in your heart towards someone else, you've already murdered them. Try driving freeways in Southern California and not killing somebody in your heart. It's difficult. But God is looking at your heart right now. And you may fool other people. You go to church, you sing the songs, you serve the Lord. But there's something in your heart that's not right. Listen, the older brother was in the father's home, but he didn't have the father's heart. He was in the father's home, but he did not have the father's heart. If you were to ask the father before this episode that we just read, he would say, yeah, my prodigal son's really rebellious. He needs prayer. But man, this older son, he's a good boy. Until he begins to open his mouth when his brother came home and all the poison come spilling out, all of the bitterness, all the contempt that he had for his father and for his brother. So everyone was partying except the older brother. Isn't that a bummer when everybody's having a good time but you? You ever been at a family event? Everybody's there, all family, everybody's having a good time. You're just bummed out because you're mad at that person, mad at that person, mad at that person. And why did they get the new job? And why do they have such a great husband? I don't even have a husband. I wish I had that husband. And we get mad and we get bitter and we get just lonely and isolated. Instead of building bridges, we build walls and we're unforgiving. We're so religious, but we're lost. These Pharisees and scribes, they needed salvation. They were showing no grace because they had not experienced grace. They were unforgiving because they'd never been forgiven. If you've been forgiven, you should be forgiving. If you've experienced grace, you should be gracious. If God has been merciful to you, you should be merciful to others. Amen? So sad that this boy was angry, verse 28, and would not go in. It's interesting, the contrast. The younger son was outside the home. Now he's inside the home. The older son was inside the home. Now he's outside the home. He was not getting his way. That's why he was angry. So it starts in verse 28, just basically saying he was angry. And we'll break it down more in just a moment in verse 29 to verse 30. When he begins to speak, you know, he opens his mouth and what's really on his heart comes spilling forth. But it starts with angry, and we need to be careful that we don't become angry toward God. Now, remember, the father represents God in the parable. And a lot of his vindictiveness and his anger was vented toward his father because his father was forgiving and generous and lavishly forgave and blessed this younger son who had done all these horrible things, and the older son felt it was unjust or not fair. So when it says in verse 28, he's angry and would not go in, this phrase means literally boiling with anger. So picture a pot and it's just starting to boil and it's just seething and boiling and bubbling over. That's the older brother's anger. It's just bubbling and boiling over. And he would not forgive his brother. He was saying basically, this is not fair. I kept the rules. I did what is right. And the father throws him a party, but not me. The father gives him the fatted calf, but not me. And he was jealous and angry and boiling over with hostility toward his brother. And basically he was saying it's not fair. Have you ever felt like God has not been fair with you? Have you ever felt like, why does that bad person have all these good things happening to them? And I'm a good person. At least that's your commentary on yourself. I'm a good person and nothing good is happening to me. I'm mad at God right now. You ever had someone call you up and say, hey, can't believe what happened. Somebody gave me a brand new car. You go, praise the Lord. I'm really happy for you, brother. God, what's the deal? I go to church more than they do. I read my Bible more than they do. I'm a better person. Why did they get a brand new car? Why did they go on this vacation? Why did they get to go on this beautiful cruise? I'm more spiritual. I read the Bible more than they do. Why aren't you blessing me? And they get angry toward others. So his anger, his stubbornness of heart was keeping him from the party. There's no joy. He would not go in. How about you this morning? Are you refusing to go into the party? To thank God for what he's done in other people's lives? For the grace and the mercy he's shown to others? Now, we move secondly from the angry older brother, verse 25, to first part of verse 28, to secondly, just the end of verse 28, the pleading, seeking Father. It's one of the most beautiful pictures of God the Father. Therefore, verse 28, came his father out and entreated him, which means begged, pleaded with him earnestly that he would come in. Now, the father could have sent the servant to go out to the older brother and ordered him in. He certainly had the authority. Go tell my son to get in here and change his frowning face, to get a new face on and be glad. But he didn't force him to do that. He pleaded with him. He said it's the right thing to do. And he goes out to the son. Now, a lot of times we'll just read this and we don't really understand. But again, in the Eastern culture, this was humbling for the father to do. For the father to go outside and have to plead with his son, come in, please, was very degrading, very humbling. This is a picture of God. This is a picture of how God bends over backwards in love and compassion and mercy and is kind and loves sinners. He loved the older brother just as much as he loved the younger rebellious son. And he's seeking to bring them back. Now, the father didn't go searching for the younger son. He came down the road, but he ran to him. Now the father is actually going out to this older son. He couldn't have just written him off. The father who humbled himself to run to the returning prodigal son now graciously and lovingly goes out to plead earnestly and compel him, the older son, please come in. God's heart is broken when we grow bitter and hard and unforgiving toward him and others. So the father's great love is seen in the father reaching out to this eldest son. The father was not angry with the son. The son was angry with the father. He didn't have the father's heart. What's such a hard thing to do is when your heart begins to be angry with God, when you're upset with God. God, it's not fair. God, this isn't right. God, why did you let this happen? One of the things I pray for is that we as a church, we would not grow bitter in the hard things of life, but grow better. That we wouldn't grow hardened toward God and others, that we would grow softer. Pray and ask God, soften my heart. Oh God, soften my heart. From all indifference, set me apart. Let me help me to have your heart to feel what you feel. In living with the Father in the Father's house, we should have the Father's heart for those who are sinners, whether sanctimonious or scandalous. We should love the sinner and hate the sin. Now I move to the third section, verse 29 to 30, and this is the heart of the passage. And remember again, this is all part of this parable of the prodigal son. The older brother is all upset because when his younger brother came home, the father forgave him and threw a massive party. So we see the complaint of the older brother. And he answering said, now this is interesting. This is the first time in the story when you actually have his recorded words. It's not telling us what he was doing. It's telling us what he was saying. So now for the first time, the older brother's mouth opens. You know what the Bible says? It says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's in your heart, comes out of your mouth. So his mouth begins to speak. He answering said to his father, lo, and by the way, this is again rude and degrading. He should have said, father. He said, look, he's basically like saying, look, these many years. He didn't say father. He said, look, these many years I do serve thee. And by the way, that word serve there in verse 29, when he's referring to his service for many years, is I slaved for you. I was slaving for you. Now, here's an interesting thought. The younger son was in the faraway country and said, I'm going to go back to my father. Said, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Just let me be a servant in your house. The older son, who is home all the time working hard, is now outside the home in anger and bitterness and saying to his father, I slaved for you all these years. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. Really? Well, talk about self-righteous. And yet you never gave me, notice all the personal pronouns, me, my, I. You never gave me a goat that I might make merry with my friends. I chuckled, many commentaries said, I doubt he even had any friends. Who would want to be around him? You never gave me even a goat. You gave this rebel the fatted calf. But as soon, verse 30, as this thy son, he wouldn't even acknowledge his own brother. As soon as he's come home, he's devoured his living with prostitutes. Nowhere in the story does it say he got involved with prostitutes. It's probably a hidden agenda of the older son. It's probably what he would like to have been doing when he was out working in the fields. He spoiled and devoured his living with harlots. You killed for him the fatted calf. You see the poison coming out of his mouth? See how bitter his heart is? Go back to verse 28. He was angry. I would summarize everything the older brother has in his heart as contempt. As contempt. He has contempt for his father. He has contempt for his brother. Now, he also opens his mouth, beginning in verse 29. He is self-righteous. I slaved for you these many years, and I have never transgressed thy commandments. He saw no sin in his life, no disobedience in his life. He was blind to his own condition. Like the younger son, he actually came to himself and saw how sinful he was. What a gift that was for him. But this older self-righteous son, he didn't even see his own sinful heart. And then, secondly, he was ungrateful. You never gave me even a goat to party with my friends. Bitterness. Ungrateful. He's basically saying, you're not fair. I kept the rules. This isn't right. And then many believers today, as I said, get the same kind of attitude toward God. It's not fair. I've served you. I've been a good Christian. I've followed your commands. Self-righteous. Why don't I have a husband or a wife? Why don't I have children? Why don't I have good health? Why don't I have that perfect job? Why don't I have that ministry? Why don't I have that beautiful house to live in? And we get upset and angry with God. He was unloving toward his brother, not my brother, but thy son. And sadly, he was unforgiving, verse 30. He was unforgiving. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. No mention of joy that he had been forgiven and restored, and no heart of forgiveness in this older brother. He was actually wanting justice, not grace or mercy. Let me tell you something. You don't want God to give you justice. If you say, God, I deserve, oh, watch out. Because you know what we deserve? We all deserve hell. I just thought I'd encourage you today. But it's true. If you're saying, not me, preacher boy, speak for yourself. You don't know how good I am. You don't know how awesome I am. You don't know how amazing I am. I've served God for many years. We all deserve hell. The wages of sin is death. But God in His grace gives us life. The gift of God is eternal life. Amen? So we don't want justice. We want grace. And we want mercy. So He's now on the outside who was on the inside. And pride and anger and self-righteousness have consumed His heart. It makes us miss the party. He's missing the party. If you're here today and you haven't repented, and you haven't turned to Jesus Christ, and you haven't been thankful for His forgiveness, you're missing the party. So move with me through the text to the last section, verse 31 and verse 32. So the father then says to him, son. Now, the son speaks verse 29 to verse 30. All this poison coming out. Now then, verse 31 to 32, the father answers him. If I were the father, I would have said, just get lost, okay? Just leave. Forget it. I don't want you in the party. Aren't you glad I'm not the father? Remember a couple weeks ago, you're glad I wasn't the shepherd? I'm glad, be glad I'm not the father. Father said to him, son. Now that word son is an interesting Greek word. You know what it could be translated? My darling child. It's technon in the Greek. It's technon, which means child, means my lovely, darling child. He's speaking in endearing terms. Thou art ever with me. It's as though the father is saying, you wanted a calf to party with? You wanted me to give you a goat to have a good time with your friends? You have me. You've always had me. Thou art ever with me. Isn't my presence enough? The son was saying to the father, you're not enough. I want your things. His heart was no different than the younger son. He says, son, thou art ever with me. I love this. All that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. Your values are wrong. Your priorities are wrong. You have me. You have the fellowship of the Father. And in reality, it was all his. When the younger son took off with his inheritance, the inheritance was all divided. It was all given to the older son as well. Everything that was left belonged to him. Then secondly, in verse 32, it was fitting or it was right that we should make merry and be glad. Why? Because your brother, so he said, thy son, the father said, no, he's your brother. He was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. So it's an interesting response of the father, and we have the choice of the older brother. He said in verse 29 that to the father, you never gave me. And the father said, I was with you. Everything I have belongs to you. In verse 30, he said, this thy son. And now he's saying in verse 30, he is your brother. Now here's an interesting thing I don't want to miss. This story ends without telling us how the older son responded. Have you ever been watching a really good movie and it just ends kind of quickly and abruptly? And you go, I want to see him get married. I want to see him have kids. I want to see the end of the story. And what happened afterwards? You're kind of bummed out. It's kind of anti. This is the story. Why? Because we are to be the ones that see ourselves in the story. So the story just stops at this point, and there's no reference to what happened to the older brother. Did he ever go into the party? Did he ever forgive his father? Did he ever forgive his brother? Did he ever join the party? It doesn't say. Now, these parables are both windows by which we see God, and they're mirrors by which we see ourselves. So in the window we look at this parable, we see God is loving, God is compassionate, God is forgiving, God is gracious, God is kind. If we turn toward Him, He comes running to us. If we turn toward Him in humble repentance, He forgives us and restores us. So maybe you see yourself in that window today of the parable of having the same love and compassion for the lost. If that's the heart of God, this is saying to us, that should be our heart. We should be loving those who need the gospel, reaching out to those who need the gospel. But there's also a mirror to see yourself. And who do you liken yourself to? Are you the younger prodigal son who went into the far country and wasted your life on riotous living, came to yourself, repented, and been forgiven, and you're in the party right now enjoying the forgiveness of your sin? Or are you the older brother? Outwardly, you look good, you keep all the rules, you play by the rules, you go to church, you're a good person, but there's a bitterness and anger in your heart, even toward God, and unforgiveness toward others. God sees your heart. God sees your heart. There's sins of the flesh, and there's sins of the spirit. And if you're pointing your finger at the son who was the sins of the flesh, the younger son, but not pointing your finger at your own heart, may God show you this morning. May God show you. If some of that older brother isn't alive and well in your heart right now, you've been angry at God, you've been angry with others, you've been unforgiving towards somebody, maybe somebody in the family, even your own biological family, that you feel, that's not fair, why do they get all the good things? And you need to get your heart right with God. Jesus came to forgive sinners, I'm glad. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're dead, you can be alive, and if you're lost, you can be found. Let's pray.